Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We are continuing on in our series looking at the Trinity. And last week we started by looking at the Holy Spirit, but I felt convicted that there was more that needed to be said about him. So we're going to continue looking at the Holy Spirit this week as well. Last week we considered some of the ways that we know that the Holy Spirit is with us through some of the amazing things he does in our life and in our lives and in the world around us. But who is the Holy Spirit? When we looked at who Jesus is a couple of weeks ago, we thought about the names and the titles he is given and what we can learn about him from those names and titles. So we are going to do a similar thing with the Holy Spirit and look at some, but not all, of the names and titles that are given to the Holy Spirit to learn more about who he is. Firstly, I want to reiterate a point that I made last week. The Holy Spirit is God. He is a person in the Trinity. I mentioned the difficulty we have of relating to the Holy Spirit because we do not have a human analogy to use. And this sometimes leads to people to refer to the Holy Spirit as it, rather than him. It is tempting to consider the Holy Spirit as some kind of power or energy, not a real person, but a force that works in the world. But this is not what the Bible teaches us. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." He is the Lord and deserves to be addressed as such. As with the other two persons of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is rightly called Lord and should be worshipped. Referring to the Holy Spirit as Lord reaffirms his personhood and divinity within the Trinity. By giving the name of Lord to the Holy Spirit, we are also reminded of his sovereignty, his control over all things, including ourselves. And that reminds us that he is deserving of our praise and worship, because he is more than an energy or force. He is God and deserving of glory. The next term that is used to refer to the Holy Spirit is one that's found in John 16. So I'm just going to read from John 16, verses 1 to 15. "All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I go. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." So in this passage, the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Greek translation as the Paraclete. Now, for those of us who are not fluent ancient Greek speakers, the Paraclete can be translated into two different meanings, both of which are appropriate for defining the Holy Spirit. The first translation of the term Paraclete is a formal, technical, legal term that refers to an advocate in a court of law. An advocate pleads the case of the accused to a judge. Dictionary definitions of the word advocate say, It's a person who puts a case on someone else's behalf. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit stands as our advocate, someone who pleads the case on our behalf. But, we might say, Jesus is the one who stands interceding for us to God. So why is the Holy Spirit also doing this? There are a couple of things to say in response to this. Firstly, the Holy Spirit acts as our advocate by first convicting us of our sins. As Jesus says, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and judgment, about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because the people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin so that we can realise our need for a saviour, for Jesus, so that we can repent and allow Jesus to remove the burden of our sins and give us his righteousness in its place. So the Holy Spirit is our advocate because he enables us to stand before Jesus in repentance and worship. Without the Holy Spirit, we would be ignorant to our wrongdoing and rebellion against God, and so we would remain chained by our sin. Secondly, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, but he also counsels us as the advocate to resist sin and avoid temptation. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and minds to guide us away from sinful living. As Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit cautions us away from the temptations and the lies of Satan. The only one that can fight against the prince of lies is God. And so the Spirit of truth conquers over the falsehoods and honeyed words of Satan. The advocate stands between us and Satan and calls us to follow the ways of God rather than our own selfish paths. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is our advocate for earthly challenges. While Jesus stands as our advocate before God, the Holy Spirit stands as advocate when we face human opposition. Jesus started his discussion about the advocate by speaking about all the persecution we would face as Christians. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. On these occasions, the Holy Spirit stands, giving us the words to say, the actions to take. He stands in our place and speaks on our behalf to the glory of God. Jesus makes this point even more explicitly in Luke 12, verse 11, when he says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. The Holy Spirit is our advocate when we face trials and challenges from people who want to stand against God. The other meaning of paraclete is a more general term meaning counsellor, guide or helper. The Holy Spirit counsels us by reminding us of the teachings of Jesus, of the Word of God. He guides us into the path that God has in store for us. Earlier in this long block of teaching that Jesus gives to his disciples, as it's found in John, Jesus talks again about the Holy Spirit as the helper. So in John 16, he says, he spends time teaching the disciples and then he says, I have told you this while I am still with you. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Jesus makes it clear here that the Holy Spirit teaches us all that we need to know when we need to know it. And he also reminds us of all we have already been taught. I find this pretty comforting, as I know that there is still so much I need to learn. And also my memory can be pretty patchy. So to know that the Holy Spirit takes on the role of prompter as well is amazing. He helps us to live holy lives that brings glory to God. The wonder of having the Holy Spirit counselling us every step of the way cannot be over-exaggerated. We live in a world that is free and easy with the truth. We only need to look at the state of our politics and government to see a lack of integrity and truth that leads to chaos and ruin. Therefore, to know the author of wisdom, truth and authority in the spirit of truth is essential if we want to continue following in the path Jesus has laid out for us. The Holy Spirit is able to counsel us wisely and with authority because he is the spirit of wisdom and of understanding. In Isaiah 11, the Spirit is described as the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. The Spirit doesn't just have wisdom and understanding, he is wisdom and understanding. He doesn't just have good counsel and might, he is the Spirit of counsel and might. It is so important for us to learn to listen to him more and more because he is the only one who can guide us in this world. Not our friends, not our family, not culture, not society, not education, but only the Holy Spirit. How much do you listen to the Holy Spirit? How much do you pay attention to the gentle promptings or his guiding hand or even his strong warnings? He is our perfect counsellor, helper, guide. So what can we do to listen to him more? We're going to look at two more names or roles for the Holy Spirit, both of which come from Romans 8 verses 16 to 26. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pain of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts, knows the mind of And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. In verse 16, we are told the Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. So in this role, the Spirit is witness to us and to the world that we have been adopted into God's family. This is important because through the Holy Spirit, other people can see the change that God makes in us each day as he transforms us through the Holy Spirit into the people that we are meant to be, into the family of God. It says that for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The Holy Spirit reveals us to be children of God. Because the Holy Spirit chooses to live with each of us, to indwell us, we reflect his glory. He testifies to his presence within us and to our status as followers, children of God. Do we allow the Holy Spirit to take up this role as witness in our lives? Do we give him the permission to shine through our words, our actions, even our thoughts, to demonstrate to others that our allegiance is permanently aligned with God? We do not all have to become preachers or street evangelists or anything like that. the Holy Spirit can shine through even the smallest of things, such as your compassion and love for others. The Holy Spirit can shine through those to cause us to love with godly love or to have godly compassion. This week, make a conscious choice to let the Holy Spirit shine through all that you are, all that you say, all that you do. How might He make a difference in the world around you? The last role we come to is referred to in Romans 8, 26, 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit is the intercessor who speaks on our behalf when we do not have the words to say. Sometimes we know we want to pray for something, but we cannot find the words, perhaps because the matter is too painful and too pressing that we cannot speak it aloud. Or perhaps because we just don't know how to pray for it because it's too complex for our minds to find a solution. Sometimes we cannot articulate our prayers properly, and it comes out as wordless groans. But here the Holy Spirit intervenes and takes our wordless prayers to God, who understands our needs and translates those groans into a cry for help. The Holy Spirit, according to the will of God, hears our prayers and intercedes for us. That is powerful. The Holy Spirit, God himself, takes our wordless cries and transforms them into a prayer of need. And according to his will, he works to resolve our prayers. Even when we ourselves don't know what we are praying, God does. That is how amazing God is. He understands us better than we ourselves do. He loves us and longs to aid us in our times of need. Can you allow the Holy Spirit to be your intercessor when you are struggling to pray for what you need to pray for? So we have looked briefly at some of the names, titles and roles of the Holy Spirit in an attempt to help us to understand more about who he is. Firstly, he is God. He is the Lord and deserves to be worshipped as such and not just thought of as an energy or force. Secondly, he is the advocate who pleads our case before God and before humans. Thirdly, he is the counsellor, the guide, the helper, who directs us and guides our steps. Fourthly, he is the witness, a witness that we are children of God and have been restored and redeemed by the love of Jesus through his death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit shines through us to demonstrate to the world that we are his. And finally, he is the intercessor who prays on our behalf when we cannot find the words to pray for ourselves. Hopefully this look at the Holy Spirit will help you to relate more to him and to recognise his presence in your life. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have so many names and titles and roles that you are not able to be pinned down, to be pigeonholed into one thing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are a person, that you're not just a force, but you are a person who loves and longs to see us restored to faith in you. And Lord, I pray that whatever you have been teaching us this week, that you will help it to sink into our minds, to cement itself into our hearts, so that we will be truly led and taught by you in all that we do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.